The content of this podcast is intended for an adult audience due to the nature of sensitive subject matter and topics.
Welcome to the Romantic Truth Podcast. You may also visit us at romantictruth.org or on Facebook at Romantic Truth in the search. Now, without further ado, introducing Jorzen, the host of Romantic Truth from our studio in Las Vegas.
Hi everyone, Johnson with you here, Romantic Truth, and we're at Laguna Beach today, Southern California. That's right. Now, what we're going to talk about today has to do with the fear of being unwanted and rejected. Yep, we're going there, folks. Now, here's the sad thing. I should have named it the fear of being unwanted and rejected, but what you would do for money. We'll get into this particular aspect of it. Now, what made me come up with this particular episode had to do with Mia's email out of San Diego, and I appreciate you writing me, dear. She's 42 years old, and she has been, very thorough with what she has written. Thorough to a point where it's almost ridiculous how good she is in regards to her recovery from a really bad situation. Now, without going into details, her email was 29 pages long. 29 pages. She divulged some things, I guess, that was on her chest for years. Some of it I'm not going to put you through, but I'm going to get you to the most important gist of what she was talking about. You see, years ago, she was so desperate 19, thinking that no man wanted her, that she hung out with a girlfriend. And now, mind you, Mia embedded a photo of herself at 19. This lady was smoking hot. If I had met her during that time, she would not have worn regular clothes until she was about 40. Because throughout that whole time, she'd been in maternity clothes. I'll put you that way. This woman was nice. But let's go on. Here's the deal. She had low self-esteem. Her girlfriend had the same. Girlfriend was more frumpier than she was. And she had more body issues. And so what she would do in order to kind of make Maya her friend, she would always cut Maya down about her physical appearance. So Maya always had doubts about her physical attractiveness. Well, so her friend decided that what she was going to do in order to get a little love and get a man's attention and make a few dollars on the side was to fall into this game or trap of marrying people for their green cards. You know, have them marry her for a green card, that kind of thing. Well, this young lady did it one time, and they paid her a considerable amount of money. And she wanted to do it again, but she knew she had to wait for a period of time. And she was telling Maya about the benefits of doing this. And so this young lady took her to the car dealership, which was nothing more than a used car dealership. They had given her something like $5,000-$6,000 from this transaction. And so she went on and bought this used car, trying to show Maya how, hey, I'm living a life. Well, here's what happened. So I got the car. True enough. And then her friend went to prison. Because everybody associated with that ring got indicted. And being that she took money to marry someone illegally, and she was a U.S. citizen, she got in trouble too. And from what I understand, they interviewed Maya. And she didn't commit a crime. Because she was smart enough to kind of pull back and not get involved. However, what her girlfriend did to Maya that she didn't know was she had given Maya's personal information to these people. Everything. Everything she knew about her. Well, girlfriend went to jail. Maya went on to go to a community college and then a four-year school. Graduated, got a pretty decent job. And she didn't run into problems until she went to get her first apartment. And when she did that, they pulled a credit, and there was a guy on her credit report that she was supposed to have been married to. And she explained until she's blue in the face that she never got married, never been married. They denied her the apartment. And the reason why they denied it was because of the fact that he couldn't be a co-signer because he had pretty much no credit and she didn't have any, so it was like they were starting out at ground zero. So she contacted the credit bureaus and tried to get it straightened out. They were working on it. Well, what she had to do was wind up going to a place that she could pay rent in cash. It wasn't in the best part of San Diego, but it was okay. It was better than nothing. So she gets in this place. And she's really liking it, really enjoying it. And during this time, what she's starting to realize is that she doesn't have anyone in her life. And she's kind of embarrassed because she has this blemish on her credit report that's trying to be straightened out. And now she's getting ready to go and try to buy a car. Well, when she went to buy this car, by this time, this other person had established some credit somewhere. I don't know, I think it was Texas. And he had started messing up with places like furniture companies, small department stores with negative credit showing up on the report. I believe they were linked because they were married, supposedly. She was still trying to get this off. Well, the car dealership said, hey, we can't finance you independently. You're going to have to go and get a co-signer. Well, she wasn't going to do that. She didn't want her mom and her family in her personal business. So she asked her sister to co-sign. Sister said, hell no. Primarily because the sister's boyfriend wasn't going to allow it. So she had to step down a few notches and go to a mom, buy here, pay here type of place, mom and pop. So she goes on. She's making the monthly payments at $350 a month. And the damn car with every payment needs something. As soon as she drops the money off to pay for the car, it needs an alternator, starter, you name it. And of course, they had their bullshit warranty. So now, this person that she never met, never married, never had anything to do with, has now put her in a second-class credit rating and second-class lifestyle without even doing a thing. So now, this person, Mia, is trying to weave her way out of this. And years later, she finds a man. After kissing many frogs and sleeping with many guys, she finally found the man. Now, by this time, Mia is around 35 years old. no kids. She's living kind of a mediocre lifestyle. Well, he goes out, he buys her an engagement ring. They have a wedding date set. And he needs her to come with him to look for a house. He wants to include her on the deed because he really loves her, because what they're planning on doing is after the wedding to move into their new home together. Well, again, they pull a credit report. This time, this guy had an alphabet soup of creditors that owed him, and they were starting to call her. And she was trying to straighten things out. Her partner got frustrated with her and decided, hey, let's just hold off on the wedding altogether. Well, she convinced him, no, let's get married because I'm legally single. So there's no way in the hell they could stop us from being married. Well, he wasn't convinced. So they went down to the Hall of Records and they saw nothing was filed for her to be married. And so he realized, okay, I bought in. So what they do, they go down. Instead of a wedding, they get married at the Justice of the Peace. He gets the house independently of her income. He adds her on to all the life insurance and everything else. Now, here's the thing. Years have passed now to the current date. She's 42 as of today. So what has happened since then? The guy that she was supposed to have been married to has died. Her girlfriend that went to jail was out of prison. And she has been trying to get in touch with Maya for the longest, but Maya would not see her. Maya went on and married her husband. They moved from San Diego to another state. And they've been living happily ever after. Eventually, those negative things came off her credit report. But it took decades to get that cleaned up. The moral of the story is, folks, be careful who your friends are, first of all. Because you never know what they may share about you that you don't want shared. First thing. The next thing is this. Don't fuck around with married people if you're single. Period. Just don't do it. They're toxic and it's bad news. If they are married. Especially someone that's going to come to you with a transaction to marry for a green card or whatever like that. Yeah, I know the money's tempting, but you don't have to go that low. You really don't. Because you got to remember, the only way you get into a position like that where you need that money is if you put yourself in a position like that. And I've seen so many people do it. They overextend themselves with children. They overextend themselves with financial obligations. They take shit on that they really cannot handle, but they don't want to admit they can't handle it. They just take it on and have a second-rate ass life. I've seen it happen too many times. It's not that you're better than anyone, but you can make better choices for yourself that would help you even better. I'll never forget years ago, back in the 90s, and I see these women suffering with kids, single moms. And they would argue me down. Getting married is too complicated. I'd rather have something from a man anyway. And I would ask them, well, what about marriage? Nobody don't need that shit, it's just a piece of paper. I wouldn't marry a man anyway because, after all, I couldn't collect child support. I'm like, well, if you married him, you could if you guys divorced. And then, of course, they said, see what I'm saying? Why marry when I could get the checks without being married to him. That's the mentality. That's the mindset. And some of these women would tell me that they literally had a baby by the man just so that they could have a piece of him. If I can't have the man, damn it, leave me a souvenir of some sort. Because they loved that man. But he didn't love them back. There was a friend of mine years ago that she did something that was kind of unorthodox and we didn't call for. And at the time, she lived in North Carolina. She and her husband were at odds. It was over a family matter. His family never liked hers. Her family thought his family were lowlife, so they've always had that rivalry. Well, what it came down to one time, they had a big blowout argument. And she had a friend that was at work that she always had confidence in, this male friend. And so this one night, the argument got real intense, and she said that she needed some place to unwind and have a glass of wine. So this coworker said, hey, just come over. They came over, she came over. And when she did, a few glasses of wine, her legs spread, and before she knew it, nobody was wearing a condom, and she wound up pregnant. I mean, extra pregnant, not just pregnant, extra pregnant. Well, of course, her husband thought those were his kids, being that she had twins coming. And he was talking about how there were no twins on his side of the family, this would be a first. And he was really polishing himself up for the grand moment. Well, they had another argument. The family, the guy's mother, was saying, well, think about it for a moment. You weren't with her during that time when she claims that she was impregnated by you. His mother was very good with numbers and the calendar. And my friend didn't like the way she was coming across. I didn't know she was capable of doing this until later on after she told me what she had done. And she told me that she had told him and his mother, yeah, I fucked a better man than your son. And these two children inside of me are that man's children. But your son is going to pay for these kids. Now, I didn't think that she would stoop to that level. When I met her, the company we worked for, everybody was on the up and up and professional. But that was only the facade of what that person allowed me to say of her. And after we had all gone our separate ways, we still kept in touch. She was in North Carolina doing her thing. She comes back to California. She's with this former coworker she was with. They're together. And she's getting a check from her husband. Because she wouldn't divorce him. And he had to wind up paying child support. It's a fucked up situation to be exposed to, but she was so afraid of being by herself. And she also wanted to hurt him. That she took this coworker, just literally took his life and said, hey, you know what? So what if I'm married? Come on, you're gonna be in my life. And his dumb ass took the bait, got her pregnant. something he really had nothing to do with, but now he's involved. All because of the way a woman felt. But she couldn't be woman enough just to divorce him and walk away. Oh no, she had to prove a point. And what you'll find, folks, is that some people are so fearful of being by themselves, they'll go to desperate measures, even if it meant they had to sacrifice somebody else in order to feel better about themselves. We'll talk more in a moment. All right. Michelle writes to Paloma. Hello out to South Pasadena. Hope you're doing well, Johnson. I've listened to your show a lot. Love what you do. Keep up some of the things you're doing. Some of them I don't agree with, but that's just my own personal taste. One question I want to ask you for sure. Please tell me I'm not losing my mind. I've done something really stupid. I'm divorced from my ex-husband. I've started a new relationship with this guy that I've been seeing now that I met on Match.com for about 2 months. You're going to think very little of me, but I don't care. I deserve it. I'm sleeping with an ex-boyfriend of mine for the sexual gratification. I talked to my ex-husband about the moral justification for us to be together one day again. In other words, my heart is with my husband. My vagina is with my ex-boyfriend. And my future ambitions and hopes are with this guy that I met on Match. Call me confused, and yes, I'm a Pisces, and you called it right about us women. We are the most fucked up and discombobulated women there are. I'll admit to that. Right now, I'm confused. And I openly admit it. Please give me some guidance as to what the fuck I should do in this situation, because I'm so confused I even get them mixed up sometimes. Michelle, South Pasadena. Michelle, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. Everything. What needs to happen here, dear, is just you need to let it all go. None of those relationships are going to materialize in anything substantive. See, the problem with you with this, it's clinging on to all these ghosts, these people that have been in your life, and they're gone, and they're getting ready to go. You're afraid of being alone. You have separation anxiety, more than likely. You're afraid of being abandoned because you feel like a total loser if somebody walks away from you. Now, I'm willing to bet that you feel this way about friends that don't want to be around you anymore. You'll hang around them and let them use you in any kind of way possible as long as you have that companionship. See, this is what I think that is going on with you now. And unfortunately for you, these people that you're trusting in order to make you feel better about yourself could give a tinker's damn whether you feel better or not. You put yourself in a very bad spot, ma'am. And the reason why I say this in particular is because you have given so many people who are not you control over you. Because you want to fit in, you want to belong, you don't want to be left behind. Now, I want to tell you something else that you haven't realized. You're the kind of woman that's afraid to have preferences when it comes down to dating. Because you don't want to be left alone. Because you know if you had to stand for something and choose based on certain criteria, you look at it from the standpoint, What if, the what if scenario, what if there's nobody that wants me in that group? Let me go and change the way I present myself so that I can get more people who will like me. And this is where I think you are. You're like a chameleon or an octopus. You're trying to fit in any corner, nook, and cranny. And when people see this, they see a weakness. They see confusion. They see conflation. See, you're the kind of lady, Michelle, and I'm just going to be straight up with you. You probably have the mind to sleep with all three of these guys at one time and would think that it's okay because they're giving you gratification on all levels. Now, they wouldn't see it that way, but you probably would see it that way. Guys, what's the big problem? My heart is with my ex-husband. My vagina is with my ex-boyfriend. And my future is with my new guy in life. And what you're actually trying to do is compilate one person out of three. But you're afraid of missing out on anybody, because right now, you're concerned more with body count than you are with quality. You're concerned with quantity over quality, my dear. That's the problem with you. Until you figure that out and slap yourself in the face, metaphorically, to realize that you're being haunted by that sense of loneliness. That's the boogeyman for you. You may have been traumatized in the past. Maybe as a child, you didn't get the nurturing and love and attention from your parents. Or could it be that you didn't get that from some of the guys you were with? Who knows? All right, let's go on. All right, let's see what we have here. Elizabeth writes the following out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Well, I decided to do something that I've been talking about doing for years. I've chosen to go out and have my first interracial relationship. It's something that's been on my mind for decades. The reason why I haven't done it was because of tradition and some of the things that you point out in your podcast. I'll be quite honest with you. I wasn't honest with myself for many years. I have attempted so many times to go out with men of different races, but I've always chickened out and always stood them up. I should be the most sensitive because I know what it's like to be stood up. But here I go again, in the same direction, but this time I'm bound and determined, whether it worked or not, to go through with it. I know this sounds rather childish, but it took a long time for me to get to where I am today. At least I'm not afraid of black people anymore. At least I don't walk on the other side of the street when they come down the street. At least I don't not go into the parking lot anymore as I used to. There are a lot of things that I've improved on. I know they may sound incremental, but hey, we have different lifestyles and different backgrounds, I guess. Anyway, I have a question for you. I want to know, if I were to pursue this and I were to fail, should I go forward? Or should I go back to what I feel comfortable with and believe in? Sometimes I'm confused as to whether or not I can go forward. Is it feasible? Is it possible? I know I shouldn't be asking for this answer. I should be going within my soul for it. But right now, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. In my 40s, confused and trying to scratch my head and figure it out. Okay. Look. One thing that I will tell you. You're at a point where you're tired of losing. When I say tired of losing, some people get actually tired of that and they want to be right for a change one time in their lives. And so they don't care how much they fail or how wrong they are. They want to be right this time around. And what I see with you in this is that you're going to try to be right about this interracial relationship, whether you're wrong about it or not. That means the premise that you're going into it has more to do with a promise you made to yourself as opposed to love for the person that you're trying to pursue. So in other words, you're going under selfish auspices out of fearing not accomplishing something or not countering or speaking up for yourself in the face of your family, society, or something of that sort. So this has more to do with you and your insecurity about not being heard, not being recognized, more so than anything else. So you have a lot of things to process here. Now, here's some things that I'm going to tell you about what's going to happen in your relationship, more than likely. I'm not a guru. Even if that person rejects you or the relationship doesn't work out well, or you feel as though you're not being heard, you're going to still stay in this relationship no matter how dysfunctional it is. Because there's an incentive for you that outweighs the humiliation, degradation, and anything else you would go through to be with this person. And now this person may start out with you by saying, hey, we probably are not compatible for whatever reason. You're not going to want to hear that shit more than likely, because you want to be right this time. You don't want to fail. See, when a person wants to be right in a relationship, they will do anything. They will suffer any humiliation to be right. Because see, what happens, it hits right dead center in their self-esteem. And it hits their value, their self-worth. And the worst thing a person could do is feel like they ain't worth shit and have low self-esteem. That's a tough call. So what needs to happen then is we need to look at it from a different perspective. And a different perspective, of course, is, you guessed it, not including the very thing you fear. But that's the first thing we include. So what she's doing basically is getting involved in an interracial relationship because she has a fear of leaving this planet without expressing her political, social, and personal views to the world about how she feels about being with someone else of a different race. And she's willing to do it under any circumstances just so it's done. Just so it's done. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When it comes down to you feeling as though the world is going to end because you're by yourself or you're abandoned, when you start feeling that way, you're in pretty bad shape. You're in pretty bad shape. And not only that, you've given that insecurity way too much power at this point. See, when an insecurity or an addiction gets you to a point where it controls you and there's no effort where you can control it, that's when you're really in bad shape. You're beyond needing help at that point. The minute you feel as though an insecurity or an addiction puts you to a point where you're knowing that if you do something that is against your standards, it's against your values, it's against your morals, and you're being pushed to do it based on a desire to please that particular addiction, that's something for you to think about, folks, or insecurity. That's when you cannot be too proud to ask for help. Seriously. Because, see, unlike an addiction, an insecurity has a way of kind of cordoning you off from anything else through some sort of fear of intimidation. And that intimidation is usually embarrassment and humiliation. You see, one thing about an addiction, it usually contains a substance of some sort or some sort of habit that's detrimental. And the thing is, an addiction becomes more intrinsic. It doesn't have to shame you. And the reason it doesn't have to shame you to comport yourself is because of the fact that you have a desire for it. You see, when it comes down to an insecurity, you have a shame for it. So one is compelling you and pushing you forward without little effort for the most part. And the other one, you're fighting like hell not to be found out. Now, let's talk about the insecurity. Now, what happens with the woman, for instance, that is feeling as though she's probably going to lose the guy? Oh, she's going to give him everything in the bedroom, suck his dick, let him fuck her ass, everything else, in order to keep him. If she's fearful and she thinks that he's the last guy on earth that's going to be with her, and then after that he is going to walk away and she'll get nothing, she won't be left alone. So she will go to an extreme measure of trying to please him. And many times these people will do this without asking their partner what they want or even communicating with them, because they're making the assumption, this should be adequate enough for my partner. Now, here's the other thing you have to realize about an insecurity. This insecurity can pop its head up at any time, and guess what else it can do? It can make you make assumptions that are not even valid. What if I lost 10 more pounds, he would think I'm more desirable. Who said that? You did. Your insecurity did. He didn't say anything. And you see how this could put you on a treadmill to nowhere if you're not careful. But people are afraid of being left behind. And an example of this is what I always give you. With the lady in the club years ago. I told her I was going back to school. At first she was pessimistic. Why are you doing that? You're wasting your money. Them white folks ain't gonna pay you, et cetera, et cetera. I remember hearing that from this genius. Well, I went on and got my associate degree. And I've told this story before, but I only picked it up from my bachelor's, but I actually knew her when I had my associate, when I was getting it. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm going to school in the fall, and I'm going to get my associate. It'll take me a year. Came back, the same bar stool, had a pretty good job in media at the time. And I told her, I said, you know, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back and get my bachelor's. yeah, I'm going to go over to Cal State and get my bachelor's. I think what I'm going to do is skip the associate program and just go on and get the bachelor's, what she said. I come back at 42 with my bachelor's in information technology, with specializations in business systems development, project management, and technical management. Well, I see her again. Years later, she's got gray hair. And she's like, well, really, who needs an education? It ain't nothing but just you paying for a piece of paper. Honey, can you buy me a drink? No. You had all this time where you could have picked yourself up, and all of this shit about these false starts about you going to school. You've been spending more money buying clothes and buying drinks. And that's the reason why now you're an alcoholic. When I first met you, you weren't there. And she thought about it and she was like, you're very observant. I said, remember I could speak to you without slurred speech. We used to have some interesting conversations. And now she's like, well, you know, I'm going back to school. You can count on that. And I said, okay, that's fine. I said, well, I'm 45. I'm going back for my MBA. 45? Why are you wasting your time doing that? I said, because I will need it. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go for a master's, but I'm going to go for my bachelor's. I'll start up this coming spring. Spring came, spring went. She ain't did shit. Now, here's the thing, folks. I lost expectations for her as anybody I would be interested in for a relationship back when she didn't even come close to trying to put forth effort for her an associate degree. Now, here's the thing. Who am I to judge? She only failed herself. She didn't fail me. I had no expectations for her. So I was looking at something where she would be incentivized to help herself. Rest the lady's soul. I heard she passed away about 3 years ago from alcoholism. And what she was actually trying to do was fight the demon that was taking her down. The addiction. But she was also trying to fight the insecurity. The insecurity of not accomplishing something in life as she perceived that she wanted to do and never got a chance to do it, but to qualify it. But the addiction wasn't going to let that happen. Mm-mm. It was a little bit overwhelming for her. A bit shameful. And a setback. We'll talk more in a moment. All right, we have Roxanne from somewhere in South Dakota. The only thing I could tell you is that karma is a bitch. My daughter wound up sleeping with my ex-boyfriend. She got pregnant by him. Woo-hoo. So she's expecting in about 8 months. A whole different story. Well, I found out that she has a boyfriend. Found out where he works. And guess what I did? As a good, concerned mother, I wrapped my legs around his face. Yes, I fucked him. And I fucked him with the pleasure that I'd never had before. He was a very virile young man. And I made sure that he emptied his ball sack inside of me. Call me trivial. Call me petty. My daughter and I have had rivalries from day one. The way I look at it, I'm 43. She's 23. The bitch is fair game to be competition. Say what you like, sir. I've listened to your podcast. But hey, you don't have the answers to everybody's issue. I personally don't think I have one. I think my daughter does. Wouldn't you agree? You're really setting the example for her, Roxanne, to say the least. I would hate to say this, but I am going to say it. I would hope to God that under no circumstances would you ever become my parent. You're evil. Let me rephrase that. Your reaction, the way you behave, is evil. I don't know you as a person, so I couldn't classify you as such. But one thing that I can say is that your behavior, it's reprehensible. I want you to think about it for a moment. All right, your daughter is pregnant by your ex-boyfriend, and she's expecting. And so to get even, the daughter, I guess, went out and got a boyfriend just to start her life over. And you went out and you fucked this boy. And you're hoping that you're pregnant by him also. So how is this supposed to play out? Because you got mad. You went out and fucked your daughter's boyfriend and let him ejaculate in you. Now, you're 43 from what you said. There's a good possibility if you're pregnant, even though they talk all this other shit about, special needs and everything, and about how, common it is around people. Let me tell you something. When it comes down to something like this, you set yourself up to have a special needs child more than likely, being that you're 43, talking about getting impregnated. What if you do have a child with special needs? How are you going to handle that? What kind of quality of life? But see, the thing is, you're not even thinking about anyone else. Oh no, you're all concerned about yourself and getting even with your daughter. And I'll be honest with you, if I had a choice between fucking you or your daughter, I'd fuck your daughter any day over you. Because you're the kind of woman, you're very shitty. Your actions are very shitty, let me put it that way. I don't know you personally, ma'am, but I do know that. I've sent you an invite for the show and would love to have you on as a guest to explain your position. Because as I see it, even though your daughter did what she did, you also got to put the blame on your ex-boyfriend, which means that you have to put the blame on your judgment in selecting him as your ex-boyfriend, because everybody has a little blame here. Well, here's what I think is personally happening. I think you want your daughter to have the brunt of this blame, so that you can still try to salvage something with your ex-boyfriend. See, one thing I noticed, you left your ex-boyfriend out of it. You made him sound more like a victim. So it tells me right there there's a good possibility that's who you're still fucking. It's amazing how we try to flex sometimes when we really don't have the room to do it. Now, another thing too. What you will find, especially you guys, as women age, they're going to lower their standards. And they're going to be more flexible in their boundaries. But here is the problem for some that you may encounter. Some of them still think they have the same physical value as they did when they were in their 20s. And these women could be in their 40s, 50s, and 60s by now. Again, it's like you're dealing with an entertainer that doesn't know when to sit down, when their crowd has left, when their demographic has left. You know, it's like these people that are saying, hey, they need to make more R&B music, more soul music. Well, the problem is, it's not popular. It's not selling on the radio. So even though we have our own private channels as to what we can listen to in music, thank goodness now, it's a good possibility these bands could still make it. See, before we were issued a ration of top 40, the top 40 songs on the playlist. And if it didn't make the top 40, that band was shit out of luck. Where now, they have support groups, that kind of thing, that support the artists. And so they could still skim by. Now, streaming, which I do, doesn't pay shit, really. Just want you guys to know that. So when you hear all of these streams, now, unless you got a movie deal or something like that for your music, yeah. Or a TV deal or something like that. Yeah, don't get so hung up on that, on the streaming. I'm just telling you. All right, now, because if, let me tell you something, if streaming was making a lot of money, you wouldn't have people like Taylor Swift, who streams a lot, complaining about ticket distribution. That's where she's going to make her money. Same thing with Miley Cyrus. Funny how people already always launch an album just before they go on tour. I always thought that was kind of interesting. And there were some bands that would just go on tour. They wouldn't launch anything. They'd just go on tour. Now, here's what I would tell you, though. There's some of these women that do know when to sit down and who don't have a problem with having sex with a guy. It's like a bodily function. These women have gotten over themselves and they've gotten to a point now where they're at peace with who they are. The ones that are not, they're the ones that are still telling you that they want diamonds and pearls and all that shit. Well, if they didn't acquire those things throughout their lives because they chose the wrong man, fuck them. They should have made a better choice than men. It's not your job, I tell you once again, to finance a woman's fantasies and desires. You guys are going to figure that shit out sooner or later. Your job is to be a partner to this woman. You see, what's happened is a lot of American women especially have been spoiled with too much materialism. And a lot of you guys never get to the substance of your relationship because you're so busy buying them shit. And even there's some women that say, okay, it's nice that you bought me all this shit, but let me find out about you. And a lot of you guys don't even allow the woman to even ask that question. And then the only thing she could do is leave you. And you're thinking, oh, she left all this, I bought this for her, I bought that for her. Yeah, but you didn't listen to her. You didn't acknowledge that she existed. You were so fixated on trying to retain her by giving her shit like you do many of these other women. But see, here's the thing that messes a lot of guys up, and it messed me up. When your customer dealing with a woman who's wanting everything, it's a difference when you deal with a woman who's got everything. And that's what I had to learn with Monica. I couldn't get her anything materialistic that really would impact her. It all had to come from me personally. And that's what fucked me up the most. Because as a man, you're used to buying a woman something, giving her something, and her thanking you and acknowledging for it. But when she doesn't want something that's made or purchased by someone, or manufactured by someone else, but something from you, How many women, fellas, have you met that have wanted something specifically from you that you could not buy from anyone else, that you had to make with your own hands? You had to create yourself. I bet you can have fewer of those women that you can count on one hand than those women that have asked for material things that were manufactured or made by somebody else. That's the way it goes. Now, another thing that we have to look at is this. A lot of these older women, when I say older women, I'm talking 35 and up. Those women that are in tune with their needs and who they are, they're going to be a lot easier to deal with, a lot easier to communicate with, especially if they have not been in too many long-term dead-end relationships. Those are about the only women that I would say that are very viable for relationships, because they have a level of understanding and they never stayed at the party too long with any of these guys. When they saw it was going bad, they pushed a button and tried to talk to them about it. And the guy didn't want to talk, and they bailed out before they gave too much of themselves. Those are prime real estate females for marriage and girlfriends. Because one thing they're aware of, they're self-aware and they know their limitations. That one that goes over the cliff, I'm talking about the one that goes over the emotional Niagara Falls and then get pissed and stays pissed at men. That person, you're going to have problems with going forward. They're going to want to pick a fight at every turn over a poor choice they made. One, choosing the wrong guy. Two, choosing to stay in a bad situation too long. You see, even with the first example of the woman I'm telling you about, she made her mistake maybe with the choosing the wrong guy. But guess what she did? She made the right choice in leaving the bad situation when she actually realized it was revealed to her as being bad. She's not the woman that's going to try to change people. She'll make the change, but she's not going to change anyone else. And the change would be, we're not compatible. Let me change my perspective and move on to someone that's more compatible. That's the kind of change she implements. She's not going to sit there and nag a man to change. If they don't get along, she's not going to be with them. And that's the distinction, fellas. Because see, some of these women fall in love way too early and too deep. Now, the reason why I say more so with older women, because the younger women, you got to remember, under 35, 18 to 35, many of them are in different stages of development. And so many of them are still sidetracked by the possibilities. But there are women in this group that don't want to be alone either. You're going to have her starting out usually in her early teens, or mid-teens, I would say, of kind of feeling self-conscious and insecure because of acne, those kind of things. Guys teasing her that are kind of familiar with her, joking with her, maybe have grown up with her, but wouldn't mind giving her a go if it were feasible. But it's more or less the hormones are kicking in more so than the logic, right? Now, the interesting thing is when the women are like in their tweener years, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, they're in those years where they have got to be right. They got to reassert themselves. And what you will find is that even though they may not have the answers to everything, they start to want to act like they do. And this is a continuation. Usually this starts around 15 and goes up, because the thing is, they want to be recognized or known for something as an authority figure. Even at this age, they want to look like they're in control, because after all, they've been treated like a child. Now they want to go and take the mantle of adulthood in a way to make themselves seem a little bit more prominent, a little bit more decisive. All right, so we get there. Now, when she's in her early 20s, we'll say 21 on up to about 25, two ways she's either going here. Really, three if you think about it, because one is misconstrued. Party girl. Thinking about her future. Or tradition. So in essence, self-serving. Goal-oriented, or looking back at the past. Let's put it in perspective. One is in the moment, the other one is in the future, and the other one is in the past. These are usually the three views women will approach at around this age, meaning that if she just wants to be a traditional wife and have babies, she's in the past. And that's all she wants to do. She's in the past. She wants to go forward with a career, college. She's oriented towards the future. She wants to party, get drunk, have a good time, still keep her job at Walmart or wherever she's working. She's in the now. And this is where a lot of women, believe it or not, wind up making the biggest decision in their lives. Are you going to be in the present, the past, or the future? And ladies, you have to really think about this, because this is going to impact the way you live going forward. See, those people that are usually in the present, those are the people that want it now. They want the lavish lifestyle. They want the money. They want all of that now. Fuck waiting. They want it now. Now, the problem with this is that now is usually short term. So in the future, this value of now has no future value of then. In other words, you know how we talk about, oh, way back, the way I talk about things on this show about the past, it has no relevance to the new now, which it was when I was doing it, and it was a now, but when I pointed towards the future then and thinking, it's irrelevant. And that future's in, the future then is now. So I can only talk about it from a perspective from the past, meaning that what do we do as humans with things that are from the past? We devalue them because we know more now about the situation. So when I talk to you about a Motorola flip phone, you look at me and you're probably saying, damn, I remember those of you who do. Others of you are saying, what relevance is that? I don't know what that is. And that's the way it goes. So, now, some men have to make this same choice. except one of them is taken away. And usually it's the future. So with young men in that same age group, it's either the now or the tradition. And the reason why they do this is because many parents will tolerate a daughter being at home, going to college, but not the son. Traditionally, they feel as though the son, once he turns 18, he should be able to go out and find him a good job at the factory or join the military. With the daughter,
they gotta protect her a little bit more.
She's gonna be shielded a little bit more. So, in essence, what this means is that this young lady at this age has a choice to make from 21 to 25 usually. Do I stay with the now? Do I look for the future? Or do I go back to tradition? Now, we're going to talk about the cause and effects of each one of these in the next segment. All right. Now, we're still on that demographic from 21 up to 25. Now, it could go down even further or go even higher up on the age bracket. It depends on the individuals and what part of the country they're in. But I'm just talking about something that usually occurs at a certain age range. Now, here's the thing. By the time a woman is 25, she's kind of made a decision as to where she wants to go in life. And as I tell you before, she has really three choices: now, the past, and the future. Now being in the moment, the past being following a traditional path, like mom, dad, granddad, whoever. And the future is creating new innovative ground for yourself, like going to college or doing something that may not be so traditional in the family. Now, here's the thing. The woman decides she's going to be a traditionalist. A couple of things that she'll have at her advantage. She's probably looking for a family orientation. She's looking for more protection. She's looking for more financial and emotional and economic stability. She's going to be more loyal and devoted. And she's looking forward to just having a family, rearing a family. And therefore, some of the side effects of this will be she will grow with her husband together through the stages. She'll be limited in her interactions outside the marriage because she's going to be married more time than she'll be single. So she's going to go through the stages of rearing all her kids, and then eventually they'll have grandkids, and her sacrifice will be that she will not quite have the fulfillment of a woman who is looking towards her future, in the sense that she's going to be preoccupied rearing kids, rearing grandkids, and denying herself some of the luxuries in life. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is she's probably thinking that even with her husband, or if her husband and she does not get along, that she'll find some new man who's going to pick up the mantle and spend money on her lavishly, like she feels as though it's supposed to be spent on her, even though she sacrificed those years of her life at her own judgment, and not realizing that she's not owed anything because she made that sacrifice. That was something she did voluntarily. But many of them have the mindset that, hey, I want the life of diamonds, pearls, and necklaces and all this after the fact. especially after they've had their kids and everything, and maybe they're not as attractive as they were before. Now, here's the thing you have to come to grips also with. And this is the fact that when a woman becomes a traditionalist a lot of times, she's going to lose her identity as a female. In other words, she's an object. She's grandma. She's mother. She's more or less like a dutiful parent that's going to be around at the kids' disposal for anything they need. Mama need for you to do this. Mama need for you to do that. In other words, mom becomes a machine. Mom becomes just like a maid. And it could be voluntary that she loves her children, et cetera, and grandkids. As you can tell, I've been through this many times over, through this battle. That's the reason why I know it so well, and that's the reason why I reject it so well as well. And what happens, this person forgets that they have a life. And yet they bring someone else into their lives. But what they want to do is they want them to kind of go at the pace they go at. And what it comes down to, folks, they are looking for someone out of convenience, not necessarily out of love. And they've over-obligated themselves to something that's totally overwhelming. I have broken up with more single moms and grandmothers over this particular issue, because of the fact that they don't know how to discipline themselves. The kids can drop the grandkids over at any time. The mom is preoccupied, grandmother's preoccupied all the time. And then what used to get me more than anything was to see these kids drop off the grandkids to grandmother. And these fuckers are going flying over to different parts of the world on a regular basis. Not just once or twice. No. That shit has become like standard operating procedure. And unfortunately, a lot of these grandparents allow this to happen. Oh, they love their kids. Well, fuck, of course. And the kids are saying, well, you know, grandma and granddad, they love the kids. Let's dump them on their asses since they love them so much, and let's go out and have some fun. And that's what these kids do. I don't know about you. I ain't dealing with that bullshit. Been there, done that. And let me tell you something. It leads nowhere. You love your grandkids? Those are your grandkids. Keep loving them. You love your pets? Those are your pets. Keep loving them. That's the reason why I tell you folks, you put those pictures up on your profile with you hugging your grandkids and your puppies and all that shit. There are a lot of people that say, oh, preoccupied. Their priorities are different. And they swipe left on you. Don't want to have nothing to do with you. It's because of that. And no matter how you try to lie, camouflage, conceal, once we find out the truth about your situation, you're going to get the same reaction. Not that we're better than you. The one thing you got to remember is we're looking for someone for a relationship. We're not looking for a fucking arrangement. And that's where the problems are. Now, here's another thing that happens quite frequently. When the women get to a point of becoming future-oriented, they're focused on school. They're focused on educating themselves. They're focused on career. And yes, true enough, statistically, I've seen it written out basically based on weight and body mass. I don't know how true it is when it comes to physical appearance, that women who are not so attractive are usually the people that are going more for a future-oriented lifestyle. In other words, they're going to realize they have to take care of themselves. Nobody's going to do it for them. And so they go forward and they do this. And what we have to look at is, as they're going forward, these women would be more self-sustaining. They would probably be better wives, more loyal, because they're humbled in a way, in the sense that they're not basing their future on their beauty, on their sexuality, but instead on their thinking and on their understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Y'all not going to like this. But a modestly or moderately attractive woman that's kind of well off in a profession, such as a lawyer, a judge, doctor, nurse, those women seem to be the best lovers. They're not too overly attractive. They're kind of modest. And they're kind of concerned as to whether or not they were good enough. Fellas, I'm telling you, those are the women that just seem to have that fire. They have that oomph. It seems like, I don't know, it just seems like they'll fuck you extra harder when you're having sex. They'll kiss you more up, a little bit deeper. I was going to say more deeper, no such term. It just seems to me that they put more effort into making sure that that insecurity is met that they have about themselves. Now, here's another thing about the women who are future-oriented. They're going to have a better perspective on debt. So physically, they're usually more responsible. They're not going to have a fate, F-A-T-E, based existence. In other words, they're going to be led more by logic than it would be by, oh, well, God wanted it this way. As maybe a traditionalist woman. Because that's just the way it happens sometimes with them. But this is where they're going. So they're going to have the education. They're going to have more than likely the better lifestyle starting out. And so they have a better choice in men to make, even though they may not be the most attractive women. So this works to their advantage. Now, the interesting thing. The now girl, the in the now girl. Whatever adventure she can get on, she's going to take. Because the way she looks at it, she's never going to get this opportunity again. And there's some justification in that, but here's the problem for her. She's going to get to a point where she's going to get desperate because she's going to run out of opportunities because people are going to run out of offering them to her. They're not going to view her anymore as that go-to girl. So eventually what will happen is they're going to start slacking off. The interest is going to start slacking off in her. And so she's going to wind up being this average woman that's desperately clinging to anybody or anything that will show her attention. This is the lady, the quintessential woman who really stayed at the party too long. Social butterfly, social light, thinking that she's going to be out there wanted by all these men, and then her audience dries up. And that's where there's a problem. But in her 20s, in her prime years, she's going to be doing fine. She's going to be going on dates. She's going to be treated better than the traditional woman and the woman of the future because of the fact that she's living in the moment. But that's all it is, a moment. It's not going to be something that's going to have transferable value in the future. It's just now. And these folks are not so concerned about how much money they spend now. They'll spend $1,400, $1,500 on an iPhone, think nothing of it. Only to wish they had that same $1,400 or $1,500 30, 40 years down the road, because they'll need it to live off of. But these folks think that it's going to last forever. And you'll find that they are not so concerned about their future, because they don't see themselves getting old. They think they're going to stay young. And in order to fight that, these are the people that are going to spend so much money on cosmetic surgery, so much money on weight loss programs, so much money in order to stay relevant. It's pathetic, but true. And what you'll see is these people still trying to fight the aging process at 40, then at 50, then at 60, then at 70. And then they're so concerned about how they look in their casket when they die. The only person that's benefiting from that will be the people who are alive, who gives a damn about them. Once that casket is shut, nobody gives a fuck. You're done. It's over. And that's the way it goes. We'll talk more in a moment. All right, folks, in conclusion, let's wrap it up here. There's a big fear among men. And some men, I'll put it that way, for sure, just like with some women. That fear of abandonment, that feeling of being alone, that feel of loss, that sense of not being in control. And for some men, they just can't handle that. And ladies, unfortunately, men clamp down on their feelings, and the only thing you get is the result of their feelings. Now, I encourage men to talk about things well before they get to a point of saying something like, "You're not going to leave me. If I can't have you, nobody else does." When a person gets to that point, ladies and gentlemen, you're at a point of damn near no return. And this is when you have to start looking at extricating yourself from the situation, calling help for that individual, and never being in their purview again until some things are actually worked out. I'm just telling you. I was on a date with a woman one time, and she told me that if she couldn't have me, nobody else could. She pulled out a switchblade, and she said, "I'm not kidding you." And she had a .22 pistol in her purse. Now, I wanted to show you the difference between the person I met and the person that was holding that switchblade and that pistol that night. The person I met initially was through a coworker who knew of this woman because she worked for a company across the hall from us. Now, I know what some of you are saying. "Oh, well, I would have never gone for that." Bullshit. You go for people and get your lives fucked up in other ways. Anyway, what happened? We started chit-chatting, and we all started going to dinner. She was very bubbly, very upbeat, very, very engaging. Great conversationalist. Talked about a lot of things from astrophysics all the way down to the La Brea Tar Pits. I asked her on a date. She agreed. We had a good first date. We went and had gelato right over at Santa Monica at that gelato shop right before 3rd Avenue, 3rd Street. For the promenade. Second date. She wanted to go somewhere quiet and secluded where we could go and take fast food and look at the city. So there was this place over, not too far from Boyle Heights, over there at Elysian Park, near the police academy, where it had a nice view over Elysian Park and the police academy. And this is where she hit me up with this proposal of sorts. And she had pulled a knife out and had it already extended. And asked me, did I make myself clear, is what she said. And I told her at that point, it would be wise for you to put the knife away and put the gun away. And she's like, I want to make my point clear. I said, you have one more time to do that I'm giving you now. And she's like, what are you going to do, shoot me? I said, no. But if you assault me with those weapons, you're not going to make it out this car alive. I guarantee you. And at this point, she caught herself and saw that she had gone too far. She put the switchblade away, and she put the gun back in her purse. Now, she didn't brandish the gun towards me, but she just had it out as if she could just lift it and shoot me. But she was only going to get one shot with a 22 and one stab of the knife. I had more energy because I was in proximity of her. She wasn't going to get a second shot. She wasn't going to get a second stab. She was going to wind up dying. And if I would have bled to death, so be it. But here is the thing. After I got her home, she tried to explain herself in front of the car. I said, just leave. And she was talking about she was sorry. Now, here's the lie she told the friend that got us together. That I was like an octopus all over. And she had to pull a knife on me and pull a gun on me to get me off of her. And this friend of mine that I worked with knew me very well. And she's like, she's full of shit. I know you. You're not that kind of guy. And she knew already. And here's the interesting thing. About a year later, old girl called a case, as they say. She wound up shooting and stabbing a man. She thought he was cheating. She wound up doing time. I don't know how much time she did, but I know during that time she was in the process of trying not to go to jail. I'm sure she did. From what I understand, the man did live. But when you're dealing with an insecure, unstable, emotionally person, you don't know what you're dealing with. Ladies, you go through the same thing, because many of you write in about it, about how your husbands, ex-boyfriends, and so forth threaten to kill everybody, threaten to burn down the house, threaten to do this and do that. Whenever you hear a threat, take it seriously. Don't take it for granted, because you don't know whether or not this person's for real or not. Seriously. And guys, you got to talk to your women more. By the time you're talking this crazy shit about doing something destructive, it's too late. You need help way before then. You need to intervene. You need to get back to where you need to be emotionally. You don't need to be out there. You don't need to be that desperate and that lost. And some people, they take it to the nth degree where they feel as though if they lose anything in their lives, that they've lost the world. You haven't. The only thing you came into this world with is yourself. And not to mention the placenta. But outside of that, the only thing you're going to leave is with yourself. And that's the way it should be. See, we don't start this attachment shit until we're out the womb. And now, the problem is, sometimes we try to attach ourselves to the wrong people. Maybe the people that are not into us as much. Maybe people that we see more into them than they see into us. But we want to be approved. We want to be loved. We want to be cherished. We want to be that person's cat's meow. And we wind up being a box of bullshit to them. That's the way it comes down to. We start to feel better about ourselves in so many ways. So this is what we have to do. We have to make ourselves feel better. And the way we do that is be around people that are healthier emotionally and psychologically. It's not a thing that I'm talking about those people. Those people can always be us people. What I'm saying is when you need help to recognize it and to go get it, not sit there and fight and act like it doesn't exist, acting like you don't need it. It's a bad thing, bad, bad thing. When you sometimes feel as though you don't need it when you really do. And that reality is kicking you in the ass. It's leaving you alone, leaving you with people that don't want to be around you. It's leaving you in a very negative state. The way I close and conclude this podcast on this show is by telling you one thing. Nobody has to be with you. No one must be with you. No one needs to be with you based on your imperative. It all depends on whether or not they want to be with you. Folks, I want you to take care. It's been a pleasure.
Romantic Truth would like to take this opportunity and applaud our listeners and over 40 countries for their support. If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours.
All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
The views and opinions of this podcast does not reflect those of Romantic Truth, Anchor, Spotify, or any of its affiliates. The opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests, and should not be deemed as professional guidance, advice, or a professional practice. In the event you may need professional assistance, contact your local federal, state, or county agencies for specific assistance in social services, family counseling, or mental health services. For all medical, legal, and financial services, please contact the appropriate licensed and certified professionals within your region.
The music that is provided on this podcast that is not provided by Anchor is used under waiver by Jaws and One Music for fair use.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.